It's time for After the Whistle Sports with your hosts, Presley, Lucas, and Brandon, providing you all the latest scores and sports news. Now it's time for After the Whistle.
Welcome into After the Whistle. I'm your host, Brandon Orrick, alongside of Lucas, Chetan, and Presley. Guys, Tennessee coming off a tough loss on Saturday to the University of Georgia Bulldogs. Had a 14-point lead in that game and just came up short late. Could not get buckets to go down and just simply did not have an answer for J.J. Frazier.
I think it's just very sad if you're a UT fan, just for the fact that I feel like they were supposed to win that game, and not seeing them win was kind of sad.
I just feel like UT just so up and down right now. Like, they get the wins versus Kentucky and the tough wins they're supposed to, but games they're supposed to win, they tend to lose. So, I mean, I don't know how that's going to affect their chance of getting to the NCAA tournament, but –
yeah, like I've been saying, though, like, I wouldn't really expect a lot out of UT right now because, like we always say and we always talk about every week, they're a really young team, so you don't really know what to expect out of them. They had a good game against Ole Miss, got the win, and then go to Georgia and played them. And, I mean, yeah, they should have had the win, I think, too, but – I mean, you just can't really expect a lot of out of them as a UT fan anymore with how young they are. But that's a very bright future for the Vols, so got a lot to look forward to.
Yeah, I think, like you said, they are very young, so you're going to have those ups and downs. But to not be able to have an answer for J.J. Frazier, I mean, he just went off. I think he had like 29 points, and at one point he accounted for 22 straight for the Bulldogs, counting assists. So defensively, they just broke down.
You said 22 straight points or assists?
By one player?
22. He accounted for 22 straight points. So he scored or assisted.
Yeah, okay.
All right, now that is something that does need to be stopped right there. I mean, you can't let one player beat you like that. That's ridiculous.
I mean, but it does happen.
It happens, but like I said, it's just very disappointing. Coming into the game, like I said, UT, well, I thought they were supposed to win this game easy, and seeing them lose, you know, it's not very good.
Well, Georgia was a better team than what their record said they were. They played Kentucky close, went to overtime at Rupp, came close to beating Florida and South Carolina. So they were a good team. They've had some games go against them, had some bad luck. And you knew that they were going to win one of those close games. Just hated it to be this one against the Vols.
Yeah, it looks like SEC basketball is turning into SEC football. Everybody just messing each other up out there, beating anybody on any given day. You never know what's going to happen in the SEC.
So right now your current standings in the SEC with a little – under a month to play, Kentucky, Florida, and South Carolina all tied for first at 10-2. Arkansas and Alabama tied for fourth at 7-5. Tennessee could have been in that group if they'd have won on Saturday. Instead, they are tied for sixth with Ole Miss at 6-6. And then you have a log jam of teams tied at 5-7, and then Missouri and LSU at the bottom of the conference. So really a game that Tennessee wishes they could have had back, and a game that they could have won because that would have put them in great shape for SEC tournament seeding and having a better chance at not having to play on that first day in the tournament, and also helping their NCAA tournament chances. Also tomorrow night, Tennessee will take on Kentucky up at Rupp. Thoughts on that one, guys?
If Tennessee wins this game, I feel like it takes care of the loss they suffered to Georgia. So if they can win this game, I think it'll put Tennessee back on the right track, and it'll help their tournament chances or playoff bracket, whatever you want to call it.
But at the same time, you can't have losses like that. For them, say they go up there and win again, like that's two wins versus a very, very good Kentucky team, top 10, top 15, whatever they are right now. I feel like if they go up there and handle business like they did as UT and Hubs and a couple other players have double digits, 20-point games, then I think UT could pull it off.
I know last time I didn't give UT a chance, and I'm still kind of on the border of it, but I just don't see Kentucky losing at Rupp against UT. I don't see Calipari losing to the Vols at UT.
Two times in one season.
Yeah, two times in one season. I just don't see that happening for Calipari and the Wildcats.
Yeah, I think Kentucky will be extremely focused tomorrow night against the Vols. Real quick, how many times since Rupp Arena opened in 1977, how many times do you think Tennessee's won up there?
Five. Zero.
Three.
They've won five times since it opened in 1977. Two were right there when it first opened in 77 and 79. And since then, they've won three games. So, a tough place to win for the Vols. So, not likely that they would pull off the upset tomorrow, but you never know. We'll move on in and talk a little baseball. Over the weekend, the Reds dealt second baseman Brandon Phillips to the Braves for two pitchers. Thoughts on that move for the Braves, and if that makes them a playoff contender in any way?
I think it was a very good trade for the Braves. I mean, you've got a young shortstop in Dansby Swanson, one of the top prospects in the game. He's actually ranked the number three prospect in all of baseball. I mean, it's going to be great for him in a sense where he gets to see a great major leaguer, great pro player who has done a lot in his career, all-stars, almost MVP runner-ups, and et cetera. You know, it's going to be great for him to see that and be around that every day as a player, and also from a learning aspect, he will learn a lot. But I also think it was really well for the Reds as well. I mean, that you see, oh, well, they lost Brandon Phillips, but they have two middle infield prospects right now who are some of the top prospects in baseball, and they could be on just about anybody's starting roster in the MLB. In Jose Peraza and Dilson Herrera, they are both quick and agile out on defense, and they both have quick swings, and they're short to the ball, but they're long through it, and they really make solid contact. And I mean, it was going to be bad for Brandon Phillips if he rejected the trade once again like he did a few years ago to the Nationals, which I think that was a dumb move by him because that was a contending team and he was playing on a terrible team and he wanted to stay there for some reason. But if I was him, I would have already left. But it's going to be great for those two guys to finally come up and get their shine and show everybody what they're about.
Does this move make the Braves a playoff contender, though?
It might, but I really need the Braves really need to get some more pitching. I mean, they signed R.A. Dickey and Bartolo Colon. Those are guys who are in their mid-40s still trying to play baseball. I mean, they really got to get some good pitching if they really want to be considered a playoff contender.
When I first heard about this trade, I didn't hear about who the Reds got, but after I heard that Phillips is going to the Braves, immediately I thought, that's good for the Braves. You got Dansby Swanson at short, Phillips at second. That's probably the best infield you could possibly have. But hearing Presley say they're two middle infield prospects for the Reds, that's also pretty good for them. So I think the trade really worked out. But to be honest, I don't think it makes the Braves a playoff contending team just for the fact. I don't think two guys and whoever else was on the team before can do it all. I feel like they need more energy in the dugout and more, I guess you can say, playmakers on the field.
Yeah, I agree. I think Brandon Phillips will really spark the Braves' young players that they have. But back to the Reds. I also think that shortstop position, I mean, they're kind of battling for it right now between Zach Cozart and Herrera. But I think Zach Cozart is going to see a lot of his playing time diminish. I mean, he played 121 games last year out of 162, and that's a lot. But he didn't really produce that well, I think, for him to keep his spot. I mean, he batted .252, and he had a slugging of .425. He had 16 home runs and 50 RBIs. The year before, he played 53 games, and he batted .258 with 9 home runs and 28 RBIs, so about half. I really think that his playing time will probably diminish this year, especially since he's getting older and slower, and it's just how the game works. But the Reds, they also got two great pitching prospects out of the deal, so I don't really see any team really getting hurt in this trade. I think it helped both teams out tremendously.
Also for the Reds, I know not involved in this trade, but just thought I'd throw it out there. Former Vol Nick Senzel is in their minor league system, and from what I've heard, probably a good chance he makes a few appearances this year.
Yeah, I really think he'll be up there in the majors this year sometime soon, whether it be the beginning of the season or in September when they need a late call-up. Nick Senzel, he was amazing in the Cape Cod League over the summer. He was the top batter there. He's one of the top 10 prospects in MLB, actually, at third base. He's a great guy to have. Here at UT, he did really well, but really what he got sought after for was his bat over the summer in the Cape Cod League. He led every batting statistic in the Cape Cod League, and that's the best summer league that you can possibly play in.
All right, we'll move on in and talk a little NBA. Over the weekend, as I'm sure you saw, if you watched anything on ESPN's Family of Networks, Kevin Durant returned to Oklahoma City to face the Thunder for the first time. Thoughts on that game, how on Durant's performance, Westbrook's performance, the game in general, anything you guys had?
Well, I was hoping that the Thunder would have took home this W, but by watching the game, they sadly didn't. But I think that Durant returning to OKC really sparked a plug in OKC just for the fact that they really wanted to win this game. And I think since they have some energy now, even though they lost, I do still think they have some energy because Russell Westbrook, 47 points, and any player that can score 47 points in a game, it's magnificent. But I think this really sparks energy, and I think you could see them make a huge run before and after the All-Star break.
I just felt like it was bittersweet for Kevin Durant to go back to OKC. I know that he might have really wanted to stay. It just wasn't the best interest for him and him wanting to win an NBA title. I feel like that Curry and the other players that's on that Warriors team is just doing their role to help him transition from that period. I just feel like if Russell Westbrook continue to play his game, I feel like they can make a deep run in the playoffs.
Yeah, I agree. It was a tremendous game for Russell Westbrook. 47 points, as you said, Lucas, and he was also 2 assists shy of a triple-double. But KD also had a great game as well, 34 points, and he had 3 assists and 9 rebounds. He almost had a double-double. It was a really kind of weird game for me to watch because, you know, I grew up watching KD in OKC with Westbrook and all those guys. And it was kind of bitter. It was bittersweet for KD, like you said. And something that really stood out to me, though, was the way that the crowd treated him when he came back. I mean, he poured his heart out into that city. And what he got back in return, I don't really think he deserved that. I mean, yeah, it was kind of shady for him to leave like he did. But it's a business, and at the end of the day, everybody needs to understand that. But what really stood out to me was whenever he would shoot or score, the whole crowd booed him, and they were all sitting down. And his mother, I saw, was the only one standing up cheering for him in that stadium. And I could only imagine the pain that she felt for her son out there when that was going on. But other than that, it was a great game to watch. Westbrook had himself a great game, and so did some other Warriors like Steph Curry and Klay Thompson both put up 26 points. It was a great game to watch.
The Thunder currently sit at 7th in the Western Conference. They are a game and a half back of the Grizzlies for 6th, but looks like they are solidly in the playoffs as of right now, unless they just completely tank. 6.5 games up on the Nuggets who are in the 8th spot. So right now, if the playoffs started today, they'd be playing the Spurs. So really a tough draw for them, so that they would probably want to look to move up a few spots to get out of that 7th spot.
Quick question before we move on. Do you think that Kevin Durant could pull a LeBron James, go to the Golden State for a couple years, maybe win a couple of championships, and possibly come back to OKC? Do you guys think that he could? Do you guys think that he would do that?
I really think it's very possible. I mean, him growing up there, basically his whole career, pretty much. I can see that happening because I mean, like he said, he wants a championship, and any elite player would want that. And I could see him going back, Lucas.
I think it's possible, but I don't think it's likely. Because with LeBron, LeBron was from Ohio, and he had more ties, I feel like, to the state of Ohio and Cleveland than Kevin Durant does to Oklahoma City. Yeah, that's the only team he's played for. Well, he played in Seattle for a year, I think, before they moved to Oklahoma City. But he doesn't have the ties that LeBron does to Ohio. Of course, Durant from D.C. So I think it's possible, but not really likely. Also, this weekend we've got the NBA All-Star break coming up. What event are you guys looking forward to the most?
Definitely the dunk contest. I mean, who isn't looking forward to that every year?
Yep.
Yeah, the dunk contest, just for the simple fact that there's one player in there who's, I think he plays in the D-League, and he has zero NBA career dunks. And I've seen highlights of him all the time. He's dunking all over people in the D-League. I'm interested to see what he can do in the All-Star dunk contest.
Yeah, the participants are Derrick Jones Jr., who is the guy in the D-League. You have Aaron Gordon with the Magic, who we saw last year in a great dunk contest with Zach LaVine, I think. Glenn Robinson III with the Pacers, and DeAndre Jordan from the Clippers will be your four participants. So
some high flyers.
Yeah. I think Gordon obviously has to be the favorite because he's been there and done it before and has put on a show. So I think he's obviously your favorite. I don't think DeAndre Jordan has much of a chance. He's just too tall. But that's my opinion.
Yeah, I kind of agree on that. I mean, unless he does some crazy stuff like Dwight Howard did that one year. Yeah. But one of my favorite dunk contest moments has to be Vince Carter when he was with the Raptors. That was probably the best dunk contest I've ever seen. Those were some amazing dunks that he had. I mean, 360 with his forearm in the goal, that was ridiculous.
Yeah, I agree with you, Brandon. But I think that Aaron Gordon should be the favorite, and no doubt I believe that he should win this one no problem, unless you say, what's his name, Derrick Jones Jr.
Yeah.
Unless he gives him a real fight in this, I think he should take it home easily.
Yeah. Also, we got the skills competition, and I like what they did last year with the skills competition, adding the big men. So basically, what they do is they have eight participants. You have four guards and four big men, and the guards face off against one another, and the big men face off against one another, and the winner of those go against each other one-on-one, guard versus big man, to see who wins. And actually last year, Carl Anthony Towns won the first time that they had done that, beating Isaiah Thomas, I believe. So I like what they did, that throwing a little wrinkle in there, making it more interesting. This year, you have DeMarcus Cousins, Joel Embiid, and Kristaps Porzingis, as well as Anthony Davis. That's your big men. And then the guards are Gordon Hayward, John Wall, Isaiah Thomas, and let's see here. Gordon Hayward and somebody else I can't remember. I had it wrote down, but I can't find it. Seems like I wrote down Anthony Davis twice. but thoughts on that competition? Who do you think wins out of each group? And who wins overall?
Out of the big man group, I'm going to go with AD, big Anthony Davis. Now the guards, I'm going to go with John Wall. John Wall, he's very dynamic with the ball, and I think you'll see a lot of action with him. If they verse each other, I'll have to go with John Wall.
Big man group, I'm going to have to go with my boy Biggie Cousins, DeMarcus Cousins.
No, that dude Davis.
He is so smooth, though. Boogie Cousins is so smooth. I've seen him hit game-winning threes this year, and also I've seen him make some amazing passes as well for a big man. But the guard group, that's really going to be a good one to watch. I mean, you got Gordon Hayward, a quick guard. You have John Wall.
Just going to throw this in here real quick. Devin Booker is the other guard.
You got Devin Booker. I mean, really.
Y'all sleeping on Isaiah Thomas.
Isaiah Thomas, he almost had 40 points the last
5, 6, 7, 8 games.
Like you said, he almost won it last year. So, I mean, I really think that he's probably going to come back and going to want that really bad this year. But I got to go with John Wall. John Wall, he's probably one of the fastest players in the league. He's going to be able to get through that obstacle course with no problem, I think. But, yeah, I've got John Wall and Boogie Cousins, a pair of Kentucky players.
I'm going to go with Isaiah Thomas to come away from the guard side of this. And I'm going to go with Anthony Davis from the big man side of the bracket. And I may be a homer because I'm a Celtics fan, but I'm going to go with Thomas to take it home. I think he's going to want it as he came so close last year. But, yeah, I'm going to go with Thomas in that one.
Who you got, Shaitan?
I got Isaiah Thomas and Anthony Davis, and I got Anthony Davis winning it.
My sleeper pick, though, if Cousins doesn't win it, my sleeper pick, Porzingis. Porzingis, that dude.
Oh, Porzingis in it?
Porzingis.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
That's my sleeper pick.
Sleeper pick.
Yeah.
He can't dribble. He just shoots. So
I don't know. We'll see. We'll see when it comes to skills challenge.
Not on
2K.
He'd be working on 2K.
2K, yeah. 2K is unstoppable.
I think another name to watch as a dark horse could be Joel Embiid. I think he's really shown a lot this year, and I think he could surprise some people. So
trust the
process. Who's the roster for the All-Star game?
On another note, speaking of the All-Star game, Westbrook, not the starting point guard for the West.
It's
rigged.
It's Curry. Yeah, of course.
James Harden.
But he still could have been in the starting lineup. I mean, it's Russell Westbrook. He's got the best points in the NBA. He's got the best stats just about in the NBA. Dude has a triple-double almost every night. I mean, it's ridiculous. How does he not get the starting role for the Western Conference in the All-Star game? It's just crazy.
And do you think that could play a role as Kevin Durant leaving OKC and they don't want him to start just because of the negativity that can go on right there?
I don't know. I think it's kind of just everybody nowadays is a Warriors fan, and everybody's kind of jumping on that bandwagon and Steph Curry. But the better overall player is no doubt Westbrook.
All right, who do you think, quick picks here on who you think wins the All-Star game, East or West?
Definitely the West.
West. I've got the
I
West.
I think the West is favored, but I'm a LeBron fan. I don't mess with anybody from the Warriors, so I'm going to go with the East.
Yeah, I've got the West. I'm not a fan of the Warriors by any means, but, I mean, the West is just stacked. You have Russell Westbrook, Steph Curry, Kevin Durant.
Kawhi Leonard.
I mean, really, it's so – I mean – it's going to be a great game to watch regardless. I'm a big – I like LeBron, and I like Kyrie as well. Kyrie's my favorite point guard in the league. So, I mean, they could put up a fight with him, but overall I think the West just has him beat. DeMarcus Cousins as well for the West.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the West as well. I think they just have too many. I think they have better players overall. So we'll see. Another event that I look forward to in the All-Star weekend is the three-point contest. I'm not sure who all is in that, but it is another one of my favorite things to watch from the All-Star weekend. Last thing to get us out of here real quick, just a fun little question. All right, you're down 5 seconds. 5 seconds left, you're down one. Who do you want taking the shot, James Harden, Kyrie Irving, LeBron James, Russell Westbrook, or Steph Curry?
Say
that one more time.
All right, you're down 1 point with 5 seconds left. Who do you want taking the shot? James Harden, Kyrie Irving, LeBron James, Russell Westbrook, or Steph Curry?
Russell Westbrook.
If I'm down,
or Kyrie.
By a point with 5 seconds left, I mean, I'm not sure if you guys watched, but I'm 100% sure that you should have watched Game 7, Golden State, Cavs, Kyrie Irving, game winner over Stephen Curry, so I'm going to go with Kyrie Irving taking the last shot.
I'm going to go with Michael Jordan. No, I'm just playing. That's really – that's kind of tough. I mean, you we all just saw LeBron James's fadeaway three off the glass that he had the other night to go into overtime to save the game. We've seen Curry hit some clutch shots. We've seen Westbrook dominate, and we've also seen Kyrie, like Lucas said, in the finals with that last-second shot just about. That's a really tough question. But I think I'm going to have to agree with Lucas and go with Kyrie. I don't know what it is about him, but he's just so smooth when he has the ball. He's so calm and collective. I'm going to have to go with Kyrie.
Yeah, he also had the game winner on Christmas when they versed the Warriors as well. So Kyrie, no doubt.
Yeah.
Well, see, here's where I think I might have thought a little too much into it. But if I'm down one, I want LeBron taking the shot. His little the thing where he does where he backs somebody down.
Oh yeah, that's true. Pulls up LeBron with the, can with, draw a foul with the, like with no mid range
with a mid range jumper. That little turnaround. That's who I want taking the shot. Now if I'm down two and going for the win, I want Steph Curry taking the shot.
Yeah, if
that's
I didn't really think about it like that. Down one, yeah. I might have to go with LeBron on that then. I mean, yeah. LeBron, he can drive straight down the lane and nobody stop him or draw a foul and at least hit one of the free throws. But at the end of the day, if I'm going to get a game winner, I want Kyrie. Kyrie, he hit that. He also had a two for the game winner, like Lucas said. So I got Kyrie still.
All right, that's going to do it for us this week on After the Whistle. Thanks for joining us here on WKCS.
That's it for After the Whistle Sport. Tune in next week for more updates.